May we have your attention, please? We have indications that we may encounter some turbulence. Please fasten your seatbelts and stow any loose items. Thank you.
Hey everybody, welcome to the first MyMac.com MyMac Mini podcast. You know, John Nemo sent me an email saying, basically, can we get a different name for the new podcast, Tim? I don't know if I like the MyMac Mini. Why don't you like the name MyMac Mini, John? I think it's a fabulous name. I mean, it kind of plays on the whole Mac Mini thing, and this podcast is hopefully going to be a lot shorter than the other podcast that we've been doing for over a year, almost 2 years actually, year and a half, I don't know, however long it's been. I kind of like the name, so we're going to stick with it for a little while, even over John's objections. Maybe we'll change it as time goes on, but for now it's going to be the My Mac Mini podcast, and this is the first one. Up first, we're going to listen to one of the last Guy Searle's Dashboards Minute. Guy is actually going to retire the Dashboard Minute, and he's going to come up with a whole new concept that I don't want to give it away, but I think you guys will enjoy it. But in the meantime, we do have at least 4 or 5 new Dashboard Minutes before Guy comes out with his new concept, and I think you guys will enjoy it. So here's Guy Searle's Dashboard Minute.
You're listening to the Dashboard Minute, right here on the MyMac Mini Podcast. Hi, everyone. Congratulations on reaching the web's foremost podcast segment that talks exclusively about dashboard widgets. Of course, I think it's also the only segment that talks about widgets, so it's still a wide open field. I'm Guy Searle, and I thank you for listening. Unless I miss my guess, this will be the first MyMac Mini podcast for us segment writers. Welcome, one and all. I hope you'll enjoy it and all the other fine segments from the hardworking folks at MyMac.com. My first widget today is for those that pretty much define themselves by their MySpace homepage. Frankly, I think that having that much information out there about myself would be a little creepy, but hey, I'm not one to judge. Based on this widget, however, I think most parents should visit their children's MySpace page to make sure that there isn't the kind of personal information about themselves or their children posted that they might not want others to see. This widget, called the MySpace Search Widget, was created by Faryn Media, F-A-R-Y-N, and it allows you to search MySpace for pages based on the following criteria: their name, their MySpace display name, email address, or school. It works pretty well. MySpace has gotten so big that it's difficult to find most anything in particular quickly. Normally, you'll have to weed out numerous hits to find exactly what you're looking for. At least that was my experience while using this widget. I entered in the name of my high school and had about 6 pages of hits. Of course, none of them were anywhere close to my graduation year, but MySpace is really more tailored for the young. So I guess it's not really my thing, but if it's yours, the MySpace search widget will come in handy. Internet connectivity is naturally required, and this widget is a universal binary, so it works in any Mac capable of running OS X 10.4. The second widget up for today is one that would be a little more practical for those that travel overseas. It's called the Currency Converter Widget, and it was created by, you know, I just know I'm going to mispronounce this. PalPlays Software, that's PalPlays. What it does is compare how much various currencies around the world stack up against each other. When you choose your first currency, this is the one that all the others will be checked against. There isn't any limit that I know of how many you can check against, but having 50 or more listed might be a little distracting. there are more than 160 different funny pieces of paper that you can compare, and it is updated every 6 hours from Yahoo.com's financial service. To add more currencies, just click the plus symbol on the right of the widget, and a new currency is added. Change the ones already listed via a drop-down menu to the right of the listed currency. This is a very well-crafted widget and would be very useful to those who do a lot of foreign travel away from their country of origin. Internet connectivity is, of course, required for this widget to work, and it, too, is a universal binary. Find both the MySpace search widget and the currency counter widget at Apple's dashboard download page, and you'll be able to find direct links to both if you visit the MyMac.com site and check out the notes written for this podcast. Unfortunately, it's the end of another well-crafted and expertly performed Dashboard Minute.
Incredible.
If you have a favorite widget you would like me to talk about, send me email to dbminute@gmail.com. I appreciate your listening, and I hope you'll come back next time on the Dashboard Minute on the MyMac.com podcast.
I'm actually recording this, Friday night, July 21st, and we won't actually post this online until, Sunday night for, it'll be dated for Monday, so most of you probably will hear this sometime Monday, maybe you'll hear it Tuesday. But, around 3:30 today, I got an email from Leonard Slutsky, and, Leonard writes, oops, I clicked the wrong button, how about that? Hey, let me know when you start the My Mac Mini Podcast and a link where to find it. Well, if you subscribe to the regular podcast, I don't want to say the main podcast because this is just as an important podcast as the other one, but if you subscribe to that podcast, you're automatically going to get this one. So, Leonard, hi. We've released the first one, and you're listening to it. And to find links to this or any other content, simply go to mymac.com. We have links to the iTunes Music Store, our listing there. You can listen to any podcast that we've produced over the last year. Some of the very early ones aren't not there simply because who wants to listen to that old stuff, you know what I mean? I don't even want to listen to that old stuff, ugh. But most of our recent stuff's there. You can listen to interviews with Guy Kawasaki. You can listen to interviews with people from Microsoft. We even have an interview, which I still am just amazed that we got, with an ex-CEO of Apple Computer, Gil Amelio. So, you want to find content on MyMac.com? Go to MyMac.com. Pretty simple. In the meantime, let's listen to a speedy review from Robert.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for another speedy review from Robert at MyMac.com. If you're a designer, nothing is more important to you than color. One way to ensure that you get really accurate color is to invest in a monitor calibrator. Now, I've been in the business for a few years, and I've played with a couple of these monitor calibrators, but none of them compare to the brand new Greta Macbeth Huey monitor calibrator. It's relatively inexpensive compared to all the other monitor calibrators I've owned. Plus, it's really fast and easy to set up and use. But that's not the best part. The coolest thing about this device is it continually monitors the ambient light in the room and, depending on your settings, can update your monitor as often as every 10 seconds. The Huey runs for about $90 US retail, and it is worth every penny. The initial setup takes about 15 minutes, and then you're off and running. I've tried the device on a couple of different monitors. I have a couple flat panels that it worked well on, but I use it continuously on an old CRT of mine, which really needed some help, and the Huey seemed to do the job. So once again, the manufacturer is Greta Macbeth, and the device is the Huey Monitor Color Correction Calibrator.
Thanks for listening. This has been Robert from MyMac.com with another speedy review. Take it away, Tim.
Thanks. One thing, this is for any aspiring podcaster out there, and I'm going to refer directly to you out there, Robert, right now. Turn up your volume in GarageBand when you're recording. I've got that cranked up all the way here in editing it for this My Mac Mini podcast, and the volume is still down. I even went in and turned on Speech Enhancer in Mail Radio. I went into Equalizer, and I turned on Add Brightness, and I turned on the Compressor, and I still couldn't get the volume all the way up to the levels that the rest of the show will be at. So crank up that volume a little bit if you're an aspiring podcaster. And one of the things, if you have a directional mic, usually any kind of headset microphone that you can use are going to be directional. Keep your mouth right in front of the microphone. The reason if you don't, and I'm using a directional microphone right now, that if you are not talking directly into the mic and you go way back here, you can hear a big difference, and then I can come a little bit closer and you can kind of hear that. This is a pretty good mic that I'm using right now. It's an MXL, and it works real well. I like it a lot. I think it has really good quality to it. Unfortunately, it's me using it, so the quality is only degraded insofar as the way I sound. And I'm a little raspy right now. It's been a long day. The last bit of business to take care of here is from John Nemirovsky. He's kind of departing from his no snooze, and he's got an interview. And the person he's interviewing, Artie, and John will get into all that, is actually a new writer at MyMac.com. You'll see his first postings just next week, or this week when you're listening to this, I should say. So this ought to be interesting. It's about 10 minutes long, and we're going to have a part two of it next week on MyMac's mini podcast number two. It's going to take a while to get used to saying that. So to close out the show, here's John Nemirovsky and Artie.
Welcome to a special edition of Nemo's MyMac.com reviews you can use that won't make you snooze. And this week we are featuring Artie, who many of you may recall was the terrific guest writer at our Macworld conference. He's a Windows user who we were trying to get to become a switcher, and he gave us some excellent off-the-cuff pithy prose and photographs. Artie's visiting me on vacation in San Francisco. Matter of fact, we're both on vacation in San Francisco, and we went over to the Stonestown Galleria to visit the Apple Store, which is located there. Artie, what are your impressions of the Apple Store, being your very first Apple Store in the Stonestown Galleria?
Well, my first impression was the people there are very knowledgeable. They're really happy to help you. They have no problem walking up. They're very friendly. And the place was very clean. It was uncluttered. The layouts and displays were real nice, so you could see all the stuff. Now, I'm not an Apple guy, so I didn't really know what I was looking at. But because you were there with me, John, you were able to point out some of the... You knew what I was looking for. I was looking for a notebook. So you knew what I was looking for, a notebook that would be small enough for me to handle, not too expensive, and would be able to facilitate the photography that I do. And that's what I wanted a notebook for in the first place, was to be able to do photography on the fly. So you pointed out a couple of different models. You explained what the difference was. And actually, even if I was there alone without you, there's some cards next to all of the displays, and they explain the memories and all the power and some of the features that each one has. And then, of course, like I said, the people that work there are only too happy to help you, so they can explain every single thing you need. And they work with people who are expert, everybody from expert Mac people to people who have never even seen a Mac, so they're ready for just about anything.
Well, we met a terrific young salesman who'd just been hired by the store. His name is Geary, G-E-A-R-Y. He must be named after the street we live on.
That's
here,
right,
in San Francisco.
I was working there 2 weeks.
Yep. And he just started to tell us about some of the features of the new MacBook. Not the MacBook Pro, but the MacBook. He himself is going to be buying a black MacBook. And he explained that there is a new MacBook that comes with a gig of RAM and a 2.0 gigahertz Intel Core Duo in white. And that was it was under 1500. It was about 1449,
I think.
Yes, that's its real price. Now, obviously, you didn't go in there intending to buy a computer. We were just going in there.
I wanted to look around and see, and I wanted to be educated.
Yes.
I wanted to find out what I was looking at so I could decide what was going to do me the most for the most least amount of money.
And after we kicked the tires a little bit, what was the deal that really got your eyeballs rolling?
Well, the deal, John, you know very well, the deal that got me going was the student deal that they had, that Apple has right now. And that is that if you're a student in a high school or university, they had a deal where you could get a discount on the computer itself. You were able to get a nano iPod. You were able to get, and with that you get a printer, which is a 3-in-1 deal, printer, scanner, copier. And also they gave you, Apple has an extended warranty, a 3-year extended warranty deal, and they charge a certain amount of money for that, just for somebody off the street. But if you're a student, you get a discount on the extended warranty. So you're saving the extended warranty. You wind up getting the Nano for free because you get a rebate on that, and you wind up getting the printer. The 3-in-1 printer for free.
So you get the discount.
And you get a discount on the computer.
The education discount plus all these rebates.
Yeah, so you get a lot of discounts, and then you get rebates. So by the time I was done, I don't know if we're there yet, but by the time I was done, I saved a lot of money, and I got a lot of stuff.
Are you telling us you walked into the store just to sort of see what was going on, and you ended up walking out?
Ended up buying it because if I was going to buy a brand new Mac and have the warranty, let me just pause here for a second. If I could buy a used Mac or a used anything else somewhere else, but I'm like you, I'm really leery of buying used equipment because you don't know what somebody else has done to that equipment or how they've handled it or what's on it or anything else. I mean, they could have fiddled with it and put some things on it or taken things out. I don't like that kind of stuff. I want to make sure that if I have something, it's going to work and do what I want it to do. So for the sake of a few bucks extra, I could have a brand new machine, something that's not going to mess up. And if something does happen to it, I've got this 3-year extended warranty. And all I got to do is walk into any Apple store, and I'm on file as having the extended warranty, and they'll fix it. They'll walk me through it. They'll exchange it. They'll do anything to make me happy, but I won't have to pay a penny for 3 years to have the thing serviced. So I think that in itself, like you said, it's a kind of a peace of mind thing, and there's a lot to be said for that. So I kind of, I thought about it, and I said, well, if I'm going to do something, I might as well do it. What am I waiting for? The deal, the student deal that I'm talking about, was only offered through September 16th. So I could have walked out of there and waited for a while, but I started thinking, well, I'm there. I have the money. I intend to buy something, so I thought I'd do it.
But being a Windows user, Artie, and again, thank you everybody for sticking with us on this Nemo's Reviews You Can Use That Won't Make You Snooze on the MyMac.com podcast. I guess we're reviewing the whole Apple Store experience.
Yeah, it was good. As a customer, a guy who's never been in an Apple Store in his life, my experience was really good. And in spite of the fact that this kid had only been working 2 weeks, I was impressed with his intelligence, his sincerity, his patience, his ability to walk me through stuff and answer some questions. And I was kidding around with him and kind of poking fun at some things. And not that you can poke fun at the Apples, but I poke fun at everything.
But you had to pay sales tax, but there's no shipping to send it back home to you.
Yeah, I had it shipped right to my house in the Nashville, Tennessee area. So
pay sales tax on everything.
You pay sales tax on a full bore of everything. So even though you get a discount off the computer, you're going to pay sales tax off of the full price of the computer. You're going to pay sales tax on the Nano, even though you're getting your money back from the Nano, you're still paying the tax.
Same with the printer.
Same with the printer. And you pay sales tax on the service agreement for 3 years. They add that on. And even though I got a discount, you're paying sales tax on the full amount. But even though that happened, I still wound up, by the time I got finished, I wound up with more equipment for less money than if I just bought the equipment.
Yeah, so
your actual
payment is $2,000. But you end up saving several hundred off of that.
Saved $287
with the rebates,
like that. Yeah.
Plus the student discounts. But what's your connection to a student?
I'm not a student. But it just so happens that my son is a college student, so I was able to use that fact and buy it through my son without my son being there.
That's terrific.
The salesperson helped me with that, and he was only too willing to allow that to happen, so I was glad about it.
But why did you decide to get a Mac since you're already a Windows guy? Why did you decide to switch at this time, and why did you decide to switch at all? Was it going to Macworld that did the trick?
That's an interesting question. It's several parts there. You asked a couple of things. First of all, I am a Windows guy, but I hesitated to learn another computer because I'm so comfortable with the Windows. I do a lot of Photoshopping and a lot of photography, and I wanted something that was portable that I could carry around with me wherever I went and keep my Photoshop. Now, believe it or not, the Mac, the notebook that I bought, has the, what's the name of it?
iPhoto.
iPhoto, it's called. See, I still don't know all the terminology, but this iPhoto that comes with every Mac, all the notebooks, is really great. It's got its own built-in photo manipulation files and stuff, and you can or software, and you can still do things with pictures without even using Photoshop. And some of the stuff I don't even need Photoshop for. If I want to zoom in, if I want to crop something, or I want to change colors, change from black color to black and white or sepia tone, I can do that without Photoshop. If I want to change the intensity of colors, I can do that with the iColors. It's incredible. It really was amazing. So that was one of the things that sold me on the thing. But the other thing, I live in Tennessee, and if you guys out there know, Dell manufactures their stuff in Tennessee. So we get lots of Dell and PC type of notebooks that come through there, and they're reasonably priced. But for all the stuff that you get on this Mac, and I've been pricing the Dell stuff and all the PC stuff, and to get what I got on this Mac for that price, I would have paid way over $2,000 on a Dell. And I don't think that I could have been happier, because as anybody out there knows, if you buy any PC stuff, if you get on the internet, you're very prone to viruses and worms and all that stuff, and Macs are pretty resilient to that sort of thing. And I'm very interested in that, because I've already been through several virus bouts and worms and all the pop-ups and stuff like that, and it's a real pain in the neck, so I bowed out of that.
And if you're interested in listening to the second part of that interview, it'll be on the My Mac Mini Podcast number 2, out in about a week. You got to watch yourself there, John. I think Artie is very entertaining and interesting, and I'm very much looking forward to hearing more from him. You know, I think it's going to be interesting to hear from a switcher's perspective, and I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of his stuff up at mymac.com in the future. And this is an open invitation to you, John, to have Artie on with you anytime you like. I think you guys got a natural rapport there. I think you guys make a great broadcasting team. I know it's not in the works because you guys live far away from each other. You're in Arizona and he's in San Francisco, but you know, that's what Skype's for. You guys should get together more often and record some of this stuff. You guys are fabulous together. You can get his opinion as a new Mac user and your opinions as, geez, a very, well, I don't want to say old, but a long-term Mac user. That's the My Mac Podcast Mini number 1 for this week. Check out the show next week for the part 2 of the Artie interview, and we'll see you guys on Thursday with the MyMac.com podcast with me and Chad Perry.